I'm going to read this morning in Romans chapter 4. We continue our study in the book of Romans. I'm going to read verses 11 through 13. We've been spending quite a bit of time in Romans chapter 4, and I think that I've just about covered this whole chapter by teaching Romans chapters 1, 2, and 3. So probably next Sunday we may be moving on to another chapter, Lord willing. But Romans chapter 4, verses 11 through 14, it says, "He received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith, which he had yet being uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe, though they be not circumcised, that the righteousness might be imputed to them also. And the father of circumcision to them who are not the circumcision only, but who also walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, which he had being yet uncircumcised. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith." I guess one of the reasons why I'm spending so much time on Romans chapter 4 is that it is a bedrock of truth that we need to have established in our thinking. Romans chapter 4 is not dealing with how to be saved. Romans chapter 4 is trying to teach us how to live a life that pleases God, and in turn we will receive the reward of the heavenly inheritance. One of the things that you need to keep in mind is this, that what is being taught in the New Testament cannot be in conflict with the Old Testament. When you think about Abraham believing God, you check the Old Testament, you find out Abraham's been living with God and following God and worshiping God for many years. So when Abraham believed God, it wasn't when he got saved. That's the key. That's the issue. And it's so steeped in traditional doctrine that justification by faith is salvation. And justification by faith is standing approved in God's presence, not being chargeable, because we've pleased Him. Because without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Salvation does not come by faith. Salvation comes when we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the verb that saves us. It's the noun that teaches us to live. We live by faith. In other words, we live by trusting Him. And we have to do that every day. And that's the faith. In fact, it's the believing in the present tense as well. And in my study of the word faith and the word believe in the present tense, the present active participle, I have found that they are equivalent. They're the same. So faith you can stop living by faith, you can make shipwreck of the faith, and you can make shipwreck of believing in the present tense. In other words, you can stop being faithful. I don't think anybody would argue with me that there has been times in our life when we have quit being faithful to God, and we've paid the consequences now. But you know what? If we don't repent, confess it and repent of it, we'll pay the consequences in the age to come by demotion, reduction in rank. You won't be a king or a lord. And I do want to enjoy being promoted. I can remember being promoted when I was in the Navy. It was a special time. I was in Malta at the time, and I was working on my plane. In other words, I was an air crewman, was out on the line, and plane was sitting out there on the line, and I was up in the bomb bay and working on the plane. And my pilot, the captain of the squadron, Dr. Dunbar Lawson. He wasn't doctor, he was Commander Dunbar Lawson. He came out to the line, he came out to the plane and came under the came out there to the Bombay, and he says, "I want to congratulate you, White, because we go by the last name in the military. You've made second class petty officer." That's special to have the captain of the squadron take time to come down, come out on the, out where I was. He didn't call me up to his office. He came down to where I was. That was special. And you know what? It was special because I was thanking God for the promotion. We all want to be promoted. And there have been plenty of guys that got busted because they didn't do what was required of them, or in other words, they disobeyed orders. And you disobey orders in the military, pay the consequences. Anyway, so what I've been dealing with here in the fourth chapter of the book of Romans is trying to show that we're going to stand approved and unchargeable before God if we are living a life that pleases Him, and that's by faith. And the only way that we can be justified is by pleasing Him, and that means to live by faith. Okay? Now, circumcision. Circumcision is just a sign and a seal. And in Romans 4:11, it says he received the sign of circumcision, a seal. And what I associated with the sign and the seal is that the sign is the physical evidence of circumcision. That's a sign. You know, you walk down the street and you look for a sign on the road. And you're looking for a street or a way to turn. You look for a sign. Circumcision is a sign that God made a covenant with Abraham. And then the seal, if you look in the Old Testament, there's really not very many places where you find the word seal except in Daniel. They put a seal or a signet on some paperwork. And of course you do find the seals in the book of Revelation. And that means that it's an official document, and of course it has the Lord's emblem on it, in a sense, in the book of Revelation. But circumcision was given to Abraham, and it was a seal. And I relate these two to Romans chapter 2, verse 29. Circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit. That's the seal. And not in the letter. That's the sign. In other words, the physical act, that's a sign. If we live a circumcised life in the spirit of it, we're going to please God. And we're going to prepare to stand in His presence approved. So circumcision is a sign, and it is a seal, and it is the evidence of righteousness by faith. And this is after one is saved. Because when you find the word righteousness after righteousness of faith, you don't find that until you get to the 15th chapter of Genesis, which has to do with Abraham. And Abraham had been saved a long time. That's something you cannot contradict. Abraham and God were having fellowship together, and Abraham believed him about his inheritance. That's what he did. He believed that he would have children, and that his children, actually a son, and of course he had many other children with Keturah, but anyway, Abraham believed God, and God liked it, and he imputed righteousness unto Abraham. In other words, he was not going to be chargeable. Okay? Now, in the book of Acts, we find a short synopsis of those events. In Acts chapter 2, verses 2 and 3, it says, and this is Stephen's given his defense before the Sanhedrin. And he said, "Men, brethren, and fathers, hearken. The God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia, before he dwelt in Charan." Mesopotamia, that's down in close to the Gulf of the Arabian Gulf, way down south. Then he moved up the Euphrates River to Charan, and then he came from Charan into the land of Canaan. But the point is this, God appeared to him then. That doesn't mean that God appeared to him and then later on he got saved. I believe Abraham was saved a long time, or at least saved then. Okay? Now let's continue. And he said unto them, to him, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and unto the land that I will show you. He said, I've got some land, some real estate I want you to see. And I just, because I know what the scriptures say, God's eyes been on that land for a long time. And what it means is this, I got some land I want to show you, some real estate that I like, and I want you to like it too. Okay, let's go on. Verse 5 of Acts 7, and he gave him none inheritance in it. No, not so much as to set his foot on. Yet he promised that he would give it to him for a possession and to his seed after him, when as yet he had no child. In other words, God did not give him that land as an inheritance. But he promised that he would give it to his seed. One of the things that we need, in other words, I just don't have enough time and enough space to put all these notes in on these papers so you can read them. And I can put them on there, but some of you wouldn't be able to see them. So when I'm making these notes, I am very aware that I need to make the font big enough for many of you to see. Okay? I do think about you. Okay? But the point is this. Abraham was looking for a heavenly inheritance, and God was also promising Abraham an earthly inheritance. So there are two inheritances involved in this. And Abraham believed God concerning them both. The land as well as the city whose builder and maker is God. Because Abraham was looking for that city and not the old Jerusalem. Okay? Now, so he didn't have any children, and he believed that he would inherit the land. Now, before the sign and the seal of circumcision, you have Genesis 15:6. He believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. That's when Abraham began to exercise faith in so that he would be justified. Okay? Of course, he had the righteousness of faith before he did that, because he left the land of his nativity by faith as well. Okay? I realize that. But the record that he believed God or believed in the Lord and he counted him for righteousness is in Genesis 15:6. And so you have to keep that in mind. We're not talking about salvation, we're talking about events for saved people. Okay? Now, Acts chapter 7, verse 8. And he gave him the covenant of circumcision. And so Abraham begat Isaac and circumcised him the eighth day. And Isaac begat Jacob, and Jacob begat the 12 patriarchs. And of course they were circumcised as well. When did Abraham receive the covenant of circumcision? Well, it was in Genesis 17. That's a ways down the line. That's when this covenant was established with Abraham. And he had the righteousness of faith before Genesis 17. Okay? And it says in verse 7, and I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed. So we have a covenant between Abraham and God and his seed. Abraham and his seed. After thee in their generations for an everlasting covenant to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. And I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession. And I will be their God. And God said unto Abraham, thou shalt keep my covenant before thee, keep my covenant therefore, thou and thy seed after thee in their generations. And this is my covenant, which ye shall keep between me and you and thy seed after thee. Every man child among you shall be circumcised. Circumcision is the seal and the sign of the righteousness of faith. This is when the righteousness of faith was sealed. And it was given to Abraham in Genesis chapter 17. Now, back to Romans chapter 4, verse 11 again, in the latter part of that verse, it says that he might be the father of all them that believe. By the way, Abraham is the father of circumcision, which you find in verse 12, but he's also the father of all them that believe. I was thinking about sharing something about Father's Day or Father Abraham, and it just didn't fit this morning. So, but the thing about being a father does not always have a relationship of procreation. Sometimes it has means other things, and it would it'd just be too difficult to explain all that, or at least and do this too. So, because I look at a father, Father Abraham, as a role model. Fathers are to be role models and leaders, and Abraham, being the father of circumcision, he was the instigator, he was the first one that had it. And the role model goes down from there. He circumcised his son, Ishmael, and Isaac as well. Now, in Romans 4:11b, it says that he might be the father of all them that believe. And this is the ones believing. And this is in the present tense. Abraham is the father of those that are being faithful to God. If you're believing in the present tense, you're being faithful to God. You can't do that and not be faithful. And I associate believing in the present tense with faith. He is the father of those that are of faith. Though they be not circumcised, and that was before Genesis 17, okay? That the righteousness might be imputed to them also. Who is to them? It's the ones believing in the present tense. They're the ones who have the righteousness imputed to them, and they're not circumcised. They don't have the covenant. They don't have the seal. Okay? Now, we can pick up on those thoughts in the book of Galatians, chapter 3. Even as Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. That's, when was that? Genesis chapter 15, verse 6. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham, the sons of Abraham. That's maturity. In other words, if you're believing in the present tense, you're of the seed of Abraham. And you're in line for the blessings that Abraham has been promised to receive. And we want to continue to be of faith. We want to continue to please God so we can be counted part of Abraham's seed, and that we can rule and reign with Christ in His coming kingdom, because we have heard, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Okay? Therefore they which are of faith, the same are the sons of Abraham. Again, that's Genesis 15:6. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 9, it says, so then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. You want to be blessed by God? You want to be blessed like Abraham was? You live by faith. You please God. Now, circumcision started with Abraham. Romans chapter 4, verse 7, verse 12. And the father of circumcision to them who are not of the circumcision only, but both who also, that is, the ones walking by faith, or walking in the steps of the faith of our father Abraham, which he had being yet uncircumcised. In other words, he's talking about two people here, people's group. He's talking about the Jews, and he's talking about the Gentiles. Now, we're talking this morning, basically here, we're talking to Gentiles. There are no Jews in our congregation this morning. And of course, this is a different period of time. But the point here is this. God has made provision for us as Gentile children of God. We have been included. We can rejoice in that. There was a time when we were excluded. We could not qualify to rule and reign with Christ from the heavens. Okay? So when it talks about Abraham being the father of circumcision, to them who are not of the circumcision only, in other words, but to the Jews as well, both of them, who also, and the word who here, are the ones walking present active. By the way, this word walk here is different from other places where the word walk is found. Where it says walk worthy of the kingdom wherewith you've been called, that's a different walk. That has to do with lifestyle. This word here, walk, has to do with march in step. Be obedient. In other words, Abraham is the father. You march like Abraham marched. In fact, in Philippians chapter 3, verses 17 through 19, we have the same walk, the same march. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if anything ye be otherwise minded, may God reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereunto you have already attained, let us march by the same rule. That's marching in step. Why do we need to march in step? Why do we need to use the same rule? Well, it's the rule that Paul was using. In fact, he tells us that here. Let us mind the same things. Brethren, be followers together of me. I'm marching according to the blessings of Abraham. You march with me. You follow my cadence. And I can remember when I was in the Navy, we did a lot of marching. And the reason is because of discipline. You need to be disciplined to march when you didn't want to march. To march to the right when you didn't want to march to the right, you wanted to march to the left. You know, that's the whole idea. They taught us to duck and not ask why. No, they never did teach me that. But I knew what they were doing. They were teaching me to obey orders without asking why. So that one day they might give me an order that would save my life and many others. That's the whole idea. So we need to march in step with Paul and with others who are what? Pressing toward the mark for the prize of the above calling. Promotion. The above calling has to do with promotion. Remember when he said, go to a wedding feast? Go and sit down in the lowest room? Because if you go down and sit at the head table, you may not be qualified to sit there. And somebody who is qualified to sit there will be invited to come and sit there, and you'll be asked to get up and move. You're disqualified from sitting at the head table. You know what? To do that is shame. Can you imagine that happening in some big political, you know, meeting? Someone tell the vice president, you'll have to move. Somebody else is more important than you going to sit up here. You know, maybe not quite that dramatic, but the point is this. Can you imagine being at the head table a lot and then being asked to be excused? So we're to march according to the same rule, and the word march or walk is in the present tense. It's a continuous thing. Now why? Because we want the promise that was given to Abraham. Romans 4:13, for the promise that he should be heir of the world was not to Abraham or his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. The righteousness of faith has to do with one's inheritance, not one's salvation. What is the promise? And notice that it's promise singular in number with a definite article before it. And John 1 John 2:25 defines that promise. And this is the promise which he had promised us. What is it? Age-lasting life, or life for the age. The word everlasting should be translated age or age-lasting. We're talking about the promise as being the kingdom life. Galatians 3:11, it tells us, "But no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. It is evident, for the just shall live by faith." And I'm saying that to emphasize the fact that the Galatians is talking about pleasing God by faith. And you don't stand justified by keeping the law, whether it's the ceremonial law or just simply the moral law. Because in verse 14 it says, "The blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith." And notice that you might receive it. It's subjunctive, and it's the promise. That's life for the age. That's ruling and reigning with Christ. And the reason it's subjunctive is this: we may depart from the faith. And if you depart from the faith, if you quit pleasing God and don't turn around, you won't have the promise. That's the issue. You're not going to receive the promotion that you want. Galatians 3:16 says, "Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He said, not to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ." The promise was made to Christ. And you know what? Christ is sharing His throne with whom? With those that are justified, those that are stand qualified to rule and reign with Him. He will share His throne with them. And I included Acts 2:33 to show you that Jesus Christ received the promise. "Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost." Now, the promise of the Holy Ghost is not the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit. Jesus did not need part of the Godhead. Jesus is part of the Godhead. So the promise of the Holy Spirit is something different. And we will see that in just a moment. And of course, He shed forth this, which you now see and hear. So Jesus Christ received the promise Himself. In Acts chapter 2, verses 38 and 39, we have a little insight into the promise and of the Holy Spirit. "Therefore, being by the right..." "Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins." Where have you heard repent and be baptized? Who was preaching that message? Well, first of all, it was John the Baptist. Then, of course, the apostles preached it later when they learned the lesson. But what is repent and be baptized associated with? The kingdom. The kingdom that was only offered to Israel for a while. The kingdom of the heavens to rule and reign. So the promise has to do with the kingdom and ruling and reigning with Christ in His coming kingdom. Let's continue. "And by the way, if you will repent and be baptized, you'll be delivered from the power of sin." The word remission could be translated in deliverance and liberty from sins. "And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." What is the gift of the Holy Spirit? It's the promise. If you will repent and be baptized, you will receive the reward of the inheritance in the coming kingdom. That's the significance of baptism. And repentance means change of lifestyle. Baptism means death to self. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Well, it's the gift is the promise. And look at it in verse 39. "For." The conjunction "for" is telling us what the promise is. Not who the Holy Spirit is. It says, "For the promise," that is the gift, "is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall" what? "Call." Many are called, few are chosen. This hasn't anything to do with getting saved. This has to do with being called into His kingdom and glory, which requires a worthy walk to enter that coming kingdom. So, Jesus Christ received the promise. I want the promise. And if I change my lifestyle and the way I'm living, I'm in line for the promise myself. And by the way, to your children, he's talking to the nation of Israel, Peter's preaching to the Jews, and then he says, and to all that are afar off, I'm really surprised that Peter said that. I don't think he knew what he was saying. And the reason for that is because Peter didn't even want to go down to see Cornelius because he was a Gentile. And he just said while he was preaching that those that are afar off is a reference to the Gentiles, because they too would be called. Remember this? Jesus gave Peter the keys to the kingdom. And here in Acts chapter 2, he used the keys the first time. In Samaria, Peter went down and he used the keys again and opened the doors for the Samaritans. And then he went down to where Cornelius was, a Gentile, and Peter used the keys of the kingdom again. And he opened the doors for the kingdom, for ruling and reigning, not only to the Jews in Acts chapter 2, but the Samaritans in Acts chapter 8, and the Gentiles in Acts chapter 10. So, now, where does this promise come? It doesn't come from the law, it comes from faith. Galatians 3:17. And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law, which was 430 years after, cannot disannul that it should make the promise of none effect. The law is not going to make the promise of no count or of no value. Why? Because the promise was made 430 years before the law was even given. And it was based on faith. And it was based upon being and living a perfect life. Or, in other words, Abraham didn't have the law, but he lived as though he had the law written in his heart. You know, I didn't bring this out, but in Paul dealt with this. If a person will live a just life without the law, you can tell that the law was written on his heart. And God gives him credit for that. Okay? Now, we'll close here reading verses, Galatians 3:18 and 22. In closing, it says, "For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more a promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise." So the inheritance is not on the basis of the law, but on the basis of faith, pleasing God. And it was given to God, Abraham, by God, and He promised it to him. Galatians 3:22, "But the Scripture has concluded, all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe," in the present tense. He is the Father of all them that believe, in the present tense. And you can stop believing in the present tense. And if you stop believing in the present tense, the promise is out. The blessings of ruling and reigning with Christ will not be our portion. And let me tell you, it's not how you begin, it's how you end the race. So what my counsel to you is today, don't quit. Don't quit. Father, I just pray that You would bless these thoughts to our lives, that we may be challenged to march according to Abraham, march according to Paul, and to have the same mind as Paul and as Abraham in desiring to please You. We pray, Lord, that we will stand one day in Your presence and hear, "Well done," and not be excused from Your presence, having departed from the faith. Again, bless the message, Father, to Your honor and glory and our good and profit, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.